Hello. Welcome to episode 66 of Mood Swings. I've said the number confidently this week. I hope I'm fucking right. And yeah, this week's podcast is another one of the combat sports sort of based ones that have seemed to be quite popular. And this week it's with the Scottish Muay Thai champion Pete Scott, who, like a few of the people I've had on this podcast already, trains at the same gym as myself and is someone I've got to know quite well. We recorded this podcast on a Friday night out in Pete's house. It was nice enough to have me around. I actually got cooked a delicious Thai meal by his wife, Pa. Shout out to Pa for that. It was one of the tastiest home-cooked dishes I think I've had in a long time. It was absolutely brilliant. And, I was just about to keep talking about the food, but, I mean, that's not why you guys are here. But it was absolutely brilliant. Anyway, yeah, so we had a few beers and talked all about Muay Thai. A few things to look out for in this podcast. Maybe you can drink along with us. Crack a beer every time you hear me or Pete open one, which is quite often. I was quite gassy from drinking a lot of the beers. There's at least one point where I audibly burped, but I suppose you can listen out for other points. There's probably more that I missed in the edit. What else? And just, yeah. I think you can tell we're a little bit, or at least I'm a little bit boozy. I didn't notice it so much with Pete when I was listening back, but there's a few moments there where I was cringing. But I've not edited much out. There was a couple of questions, maybe I feel I phrased badly or had a... I'll just let you listen and just hopefully enjoy. But I still think it's an absolutely brilliant chat. I really, really enjoyed recording it. I've really enjoyed listening back to it this afternoon. Not really unfortunately, but like many of the ones that involve a couple of beers whilst we're having them, whilst we're recording them even, it goes on a bit, so it's going to be in two parts. This is part one, and in part two there's more of the same, so if you enjoy this first part, come back. But yeah, it's in two halves, so you're not getting most of it in part one, like some of them, and then you get a little bit in part two. It's definitely a piece of two halves. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's the second part is as good as the first, so once you've listened to this, come back. This is only an intro. Could told you this is an outro. Anyway, if you are a fan of Muay Thai or combat sports, I've had heaps of other people on in the past that might interest you. Liam Harrison, Rich Cadden, Paul McBain, Ross Houston, who just won the welterweight Cage Warriors title a couple of weeks back. So yeah, if you're into your combat sports, there's plenty to listen to. There's more there than I've listed there, but that's just a few. Yeah, I'll be back at the end to try and punt this podcast a bit more. Cheers. Yourself and I'm going to introduce you.
You can introduce me, you can do the...
So I'm here with Pete Scott, Scottish Muay Thai champion. Looks so awkward there.
Hello. Hello, and a mouthful of beer.
Mouthful of Hop House, which is your current favourite.
Yeah, it is. My favourite beer just now is definitely this Hop House Lager 13. Definitely rate it.
My only issue with it is that I don't understand why Guinness have suddenly decided to branch out and make a lager. Like, they've been on the go for so long, and they've suddenly decided to bring this out.
I think I've only ever had a pint of Guinness once, and it was when I was in Dublin, when I was about 22 or 23.
Yeah.
But I don't think it tastes like this, does it?
No, I don't. My dad's a big Guinness drinker. I remember when the rugby was on, my dad used to let me drink, like, half a tiny glass of Guinness to watch rugby with.
And how old were you?
You know, like 11, 10, I don't know.
Oh, your dad's listening to this.
He might be. He used to give it, I remember one time as well, he gave me Pepsi and Guinness and a glass.
He might go down to his house for
No, sure, it's definitely been over 5 years since that crime was committed. So.
Okay, is that... he's safe then.
And he's safe. How are you doing anyway? How long have you been back in Scotland since your last trip from...
Yeah, all good. Well, I came back from Thailand from living there in last November, and then that's when I kind of decided I was moving back to Aberdeen, and then I was here for 7 months, and then I had to go back to sort out some paperwork for my wife's visa and that, and I was there for 11 weeks, and then I came back, one day I got back, just after my birthday, so the end of, I think it was, my birthday was the 24th, so it was, I think it was a Saturday, so it would have been the 26th or 27th August I got back, so it's over a month now.
Yeah.
Passed quickly.
How are you adjusting to life back in Aberdeen?
Yeah, it's good. When I got back in the end of August, it was still quite warm. Everyone's saying he's got the best summer ever, did you?
It was a nice summer, yeah, it was good.
I obviously missed all that. But when I got back, it was still, I'd wake up to go to the gym at like, back up like 5 o'clock, and it was still light.
Yeah.
And then still be in the gym maybe 8 o'clock, and it would still be light. 9 o'clock, it'd still be light, but now it's kind of changed, is it? The last few weeks, it's probably changed.
Okay.
Wake up in the morning, back at 6, and it's still pitch black, and now it's dark at 8 o'clock.
I don't know what's more annoying, is the fact that it gets, starts being light in the mornings and it's dark and it's gloomy, or the fact that for every fucking cunt you meet, he mentions it. Like everyone you meet's like, oh, that's a dark morning that's coming in. Yeah. Tell me about
it. Like, speaking to somebody, they were saying the same. Who was it was saying? They were saying the thing about winter, it makes everyone moody, is other people moaning about stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah.
Everyone just walks in moody and gloomy because every cunt's moaning at them about being moody and shit.
It's when I got from my work in the morning, I'm just like, I just can't, that every person that comes through the door is going to say something about, oh, it's getting cold every morning now.
I suppose it's the same in summer. Thanks,
day to day. It is, yeah, but I suppose then you're more upbeat about that. Like, oh, yeah, but
it's not too bad in the gym, it's getting cold, but lucky Farman's got a decent heater, so I just blast them on all day, but...
It does you favours, doesn't mean do any of us that training favours. Like,
I'll blame Owen about turning the heaters on all the time, so it's not, if Farman's listening now, it's not me, it destroys his electricity bill, like...
Is it one T, though? One T will be hating us, like...
Owen or Jay, it's probably Jay from reception, like, he's coming through and moaning about it being hot and always putting one down, like...
I'll let you take a swig of beer there. I was going to ask you a question, but...
Yeah, no problem.
Right, we should probably start from the start. So, how did you first get involved with Muay Thai?
With Muay Thai? The first time I probably got involved was... the first time I was probably introduced to Muay Thai must have been maybe 2009 when Keith Middleton, you know, trains at the gym, Keith... I was friends with him. Friends with him for a while. We used to go to football together and that, and he'd done it.
How did Keith get into it? That's a question I never heard answered.
I'm honestly got no idea. Like, it's when I met Keith, he was already involved, but yeah. I didn't pay much attention to it. And then as I got sort of better friends with Keith, he had a couple of fights. He had one in Aberdeen. It was at the first one I ever seen him was at the, you know, the Hilton Treetops.
Is that down at the beach?
No.
Is that the one on George Street?
No, the Hilton Treetops is out towards Hazelhead.
Okay, right, yeah.
I can't remember what that name is. Area Hall, is that what it's called? Can't even remember. I haven't been. My geography in Aberdeen's not what it used to be like. Yeah, places. But he was fighting there, so we went up. A few of us went and watched him, and I remember a few people was asking the same question you just asked. I remember thinking when I watched Keith like in the ring fighting that, I used to think, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, fuck going in the ring and doing that in front of everybody. At that time, I remember when I've seen Keith fight, I thought it was such a big deal. And then, like, fast forward to now, getting punched in the head every single day, like, for example, today, it's 7 hours a day, you know, you're getting punches thrown at you and getting punched in the head, and it just becomes normal when people are punching you. But back then, even, like, going away from Muay Thai, when, like, you'd be in town, you know, like, if somebody would, like, start a fight with you, I remember the thought of a fight, you would get your adrenaline buzzing, you know, and you'd be feel yourself sort of physically shaking sort of thing with the adrenaline, thinking, fuck, there's going to be a fight. And then now it's just like, it's none, you know, it doesn't mean none. But so it was Keith that eventually asked me to come up to training, and I played football all my life up until I kept getting injured. So
what position did you play football?
Football.
Like a winger.
It's when I very first started. I was a striker at primary school. I used to score all the time, and then I went from striker to midfield, and then I ended up playing in defence and sweeper, and I just used to kick folk from the same as doing Muay Thai. Just start trying to kick people.
Yeah.
And used to get sent off all the time, and then I ended up going back from sweeper, playing like in midfield again, and started getting good scoring again, and then my knee was fucked. I think it was like running, you know, on a crappy ground here.
Yeah.
He was running around the surfaces here, changing direction, all the sprints and that. And it's crazy, so I just stopped playing football because I had sore knees, and then I started doing Muay Thai and kneeing people in the face and all that. But believe it or not, my knees are actually better now than they used to be when I played football. So, like, packed in football and decided I need a new hobby, and Keith took me on Muay Thai training. And then, you know, I went on the training and instantly fell in love with it, and that was it.
Was it like an instant thing where you thought, this is going to be something I'm going to do and compete in?
No, not at all. I remember thinking, and I says to Keith as well, I'm pretty sure I stipulated it to him, like, when he says, come along, I says, I'll come along, like everyone does, just for fitness. I've got no intention of fighting. I'm just going along just for fitness. And I went along, done a couple of classes, and thought, this is brilliant. And at that point, there was a few guys. Keith, he was obviously experienced. He was fighting. There was Jamie McRae and there was Dan Rigby. Both of them guys had spent time in Thailand. Jamie especially, he'd lived in Thailand. He'd fought in Thailand like 4 times. And so like, they were at a decent level. And there was a couple of guys just coming through that had a couple of fights in Aberdeen. And I had no intention of fighting, but I started, like, as you do, you know, you start with hitting pads. Then as you progress, you spar. So I was sparring with these guys, and I was kind of thinking to myself, I was like, I can hold my own with these guys, I'm alright.
Yeah.
And then, like, Keith and Jamie and that, they were like, oh, you need to fight, Pete, you need to fight. I don't know, I thought about it, and I was like, what's the worst that can happen? Go in and get battered, and okay, don't do it again. And then went in my first fight and knocked the guy out. And then I remember coming out thinking, holy shit, this is brilliant. Best buzz ever. You know, like for days, even weeks after that first fight, I was still buzzing, walking about thinking, I'm fucking ace. Even though I'm not ace, I'm not meaning I'm ace in Muay Thai, I'm just meaning, you know, the feeling it gives
you.
You feel on a natural high. And then yeah, I was like, I'm gonna fight again, and I fought again, ended up fighting 4 times in like quick succession, winning all 4 by knockout. And then I was like, oh, this is brilliant. And then that was it. I was just kind of hooked on after that.
Yeah. How soon after you started training was your first fight?
So from the very first time I'd ever hit a pad to the first fight, I think it was 7 months, so it was quite quick.
Yeah, that's not long.
Yeah, you hear a guy's training for years before they fight. So I kind of suppose some people, like we were speaking about earlier, you know, some people pick up quicker than others. Yeah, it was about 7 months and I fought, and then yeah, so that was it.
Do you feel quite comfortable fighting like that soon?
I did. I was always, I think, well, like looking back, I remember thinking like when I first started, that one of my sort of strong points was, I remember seeing people sparring that,
yeah,
and like everyone seemed to get like I tell people, like now I'm doing PTs, I tell people, like, once you lose, like once you show any emotion when you're fighting, you know, it can kind of, you're kind of fucked, basically.
Yeah.
You know, if people are too nervous, if they're too excited, if they're scared, if they're hurt and they show pain, you know, if they show any kind of emotion, then it'll affect your performance, and then, you know, you'll affect how you perform, like I've said, affect your performance.
Yeah.
But I always remember when I first started fighting, even if I got hurt, if anything happened, I didn't always think that I'll keep a poker face sort of thing. And yeah, it seemed to do me alright, like when I first started. That was that.
Yeah, I mentioned a couple of things actually people have said. One was about yourself, was after the Ballroom fight.
What, the most recent Ballroom fight?
Yeah, when after the fight we were all standing outside, well, we were all pissed, but Dan wasn't, and we were all speaking to Dan. And someone asked Ben what his favourite fight of the night was, and he said it was your fight with Andy Dockery.
Yeah.
And we asked, like, when was that your favourite fight? And he just said it was like, he just said Pete just stood. He's like, Pete didn't barely move the whole fight, he just stood.
Yeah.
With like Andy in the corner, and he just like, it was just proper Muay Thai, just block and strike.
Yeah. I think because I've spent a bit of time in Thailand, and I'll look at Muay Thai the same as, I mean, Dan's much more experienced than me, and but like, because I've spent a lot of time in Thailand and kind of trying to learn sports, same types, trying to learn it same as the Thais,
yeah.
Not just the same as like people who want to barter people and fight people, they'll take up a sport, you know, it's a fighting sport, they look at it, but I kind of look, looked at it as when I was in Thailand, I looked at the whole thing, you know, like when you're training in Thailand, they tell you to do the Y crew, the Ram Mo, you know, like the pre-fight dance and all that, and they'll take you to temples and like get you to, like, bless your monk on and all that. They'll get you right into the culture, you know, it's not just about getting the ring and trying to bar somebody, you know, they'll make you do everything, and it's like, you're, if you're living at a gym, you'll wake up like on a certain day, like all the guys will go to the temple, so they'll be like, right, we'll go to the temple today and we pray and we hope for some shit and that. And I mean, I'm not religious, I'm one of the least religious persons ever, but going, like, now obviously my wife, she's Thai, she's proper Buddhist, and living in Thailand for that long and being at gyms, you know, it's quite cool, the culture and that going there. Like I say, I'm not religious at all, but you kind of I suppose if you're surrounded by it, you take it in, do you?
Yeah, totally.
And like I said, because staying over there, I just kind of jumped in it and thought, right, like, I'll try and do it. If I'm going to do it, I'll try and do it properly. So always, same we spoke about before, you know, when I go in a fight, I'm not, I'm wanting to go in the ring, and if I'm fighting Muay Thai, I'm wanting to do it proper. I want to go in and people say, oh, he, especially like a den, you know, if I'm at a ballroom and people come out and say, like, oh, Pete's fight was boring, you know, he didn't really do none, because in my eyes I thought it was quite a boring fight, like I didn't think it was none exciting, there was no blood, there was no knockdowns, there was no hit counts, so in my eyes it was pretty boring. I could have understood if some people thought it was boring, but like I said, then you won't get any guys that know more about Muay Thai than him in Aberdeen, and like you've just told me what he said, so that's, to me, that's what I'm all about, you know.
Yeah.
Out of every single person in Aberdeen or at the ballroom that night, the only person I would have really cared about how the fight went, it would have been Dan.
Yeah.
And for you to tell me that he said it was his favourite fight, then that makes me happy, and that's all I've ever wanted when I'm fighting people that know the sport, know what they're speaking about, to say, oh, Pete was good, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I think it definitely shows within, like, I've only seen you fight that once, and obviously I've seen your fights on YouTube and stuff, but I think it definitely shows how much you've trained in Thailand, like, with your style and just your approach. Like I say, like, you barely took a backward step in that fight.
Yeah, but then I think it depends on the opponent as well. Like, you know, like that fight, Andy was kind of, like, I spoke to Craig Flohan, who's Andy's coach, and he knew that I was, like, he knew my strengths and, well, maybe not weaknesses, but he knew what I was good at. So he told Andy, like, not to clinch him in, try and keep on outside, not to get in about and that. So Andy just kind of run away from me. So it was like, I didn't have to take a backward step. Like, the fight before that, when I fought Callum McGowan, who's UK number two,
yeah,
you know, he's, because he was so much taller, and he was coming up with knees, I try to fight like a Thai. You know, like, lots of my fights in Thailand, I felt like I was the one going forward, throwing big shots, and thought, I'm fucking cut, this guy's hardly doing fuck all. And he was just, they were on the back foot, kind of trying to just score on the back foot, you know, running around the ring. And I'm thinking, they're running away from me. And then after it, they beat me on points. So, like, try to use that as experience. I remember when I fought Callum and I got cut one elbow. Not the first time, one of many. He cut me one elbow, and I remember thinking, right, I'm just going to try and fight smart. And he was trying to steam him with elbows. He was getting annoyed because he kept kicking, and I kept catching his kicks and throwing him in his arse. Kept dumping him, and I try to fight like a Thai, you know, just move out the way. And that's like, probably the first fight I've had that I've actually felt like I've been on the back foot, you know, moving away.
Yeah.
I kept moving away and just try to score, stay on the outside. And I thought it worked quite well. But that fight, they gave a decision to him. Like, but after I spoke to him, I spoke to Guy Ramsey's coach, and both of them were saying they didn't know who the fight was going to. They thought it was going to be 50-50.
Yeah.
So for me, that fight with Callum McGowan, that was... was good for them to say that, because I think he'd been knocking everybody out, and he is still unbeaten, number two in the UK, and then I came back and fought, and you know, it was an even sort of fight, so it was quite good for them to say that.
Yeah, the second thing that it reminded me, we've talked about 5 minutes there, but like just when you were talking about showing no emotion or not trying to feel emotion when you're fighting.
Yeah, I forgot as well. See, drinking beers, you forget if you're speaking about there. There's a couple of times when I was actually speaking, then I kind of thought, shit, I can't remember how this conversation started. I'll just hopefully Nathan backs him up here and say something.
Well, it was Rich Cadden, when I spoke to him, he talked about how Liam Harrison, like Keith the Boyle, one of the things he thinks most effective about Liam is that if Liam gets hurt in a fight, you would never know.
Yeah,
he just keeps an absolute poker face, and
you've got to, like,
he said that's very much a thing in the part of the culture in Thailand with fighting Muay Thai as well. So it's very much trained in you to keep a poker face.
And like you'll see watching the Thais fight, you'll see them a lot of time. If somebody smashes them with a leg kick and it connects, you'll see the Thai, they'll slap their thigh as if to say, "That never hurt. Hit me again." And then it's like, right, okay, it must have hurt before they've took the time to do that, you know what I mean? But then the Thais will normally be smart enough, if you try and kick their leg again, if it's hurt, they'll block it.
Yeah.
But that's the worst thing to do. Like, even now, when I'm sparring with someone, you know, I love doing body shots now. Like, I don't like, not mean an actual fight. I mean, like, if I'm sparring with guys in the gym or helping training guys or whatever, if I'm sparring with them, I like digging in body shots. I don't like punching someone hard in the face, you know, there's no point. Yeah. I don't want to bust somebody's nose or give them black eyes. Everybody's got to go to work if they've knit one. I don't care if I've got black eyes, but I don't want guys coming in to train with me or coming to the gym and then they've got to go to work with black eyes. So I just prefer to put in a big 16-ounce gloves and dig them in the body. And as soon as you hit somebody in the body, you know, if you see them go, a little cough, and it's like, oh, okay, they didn't like that. And then, you know, you can just jump on it. It's the same as, like we're saying, showing that you're hurt. You just don't do it. If you get hurt in the stomach and you're winded, you know, you've got to just smile and nod your head and pretend you're not, and hope they don't hit you there again.
I suppose in my time, so like, if you fucking show you've taken across the stomach or something and you show you're hurt, next thing that's going to come is like three or four knees.
That's it, exactly. There was a guy, this guy, Eric, this Spanish guy, I trained with Boom Muay Thai in Thailand. He came to the gym and he came on the pads, and like so many people in Thailand, you know, you watch somebody hitting pads, like anyway, you know, if somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, anyone who does Muay Thai, you know, if somebody comes and starts hitting pads, you know, the first time you see them hitting pads, everybody will want to watch them, you know, so you can engage somebody. You know, if you watch somebody hit pads, straight away, if they're shit in the pads, you'll think, right, okay, they're not up to much. But if they're good in the pads, you're like, ah, this boy's good. And this guy, Eric, came and he started hitting pads, and I remember watching, thinking, this boy's fucking really good, like, he's smashing the pads. And I was fighting, almost forgot how the question you said there, almost forgot if you said it, but I remember. Eric was hitting pads and he was really good, and his first fight was on the same show as me in Samui. So we got the bus to Samui and he ended up getting knocked out with, I can't remember what it was, he got knocked out in the first or second round. I was like, oh fuck's sake, he maybe doesn't have any heart, or maybe it was genuinely hurt. And then he fought again in Samui and lost again, first or second round knockout. So two fights, two losses. And then he went and fought in Phuket. He was fighting a trainer, and I wasn't at that fight, but he fought a trainer, and the trainer was smashing him with leg kicks, and he kept going down. I think he maybe got one or two 8 counts while going down with leg kicks. And then as the trainer was just flinching to throw a leg kick, like faking a kick, he was jumping up, you know, bouncing about. It was clear he didn't want to get cut, caught with a leg kick. So he actually tried to clinch up. He just kept trying to clinch with the trainer, and the trainer clinched up and started kneeing him in the thigh from a clinch, and dropped him in the clinch with the knees to the thigh because his leg was fucked. So that was an example. You know, if you show that you're hurt, people will pounce on it. Definitely.
Fuck.
I need to get another beer. You need another beer?
Yeah, I'll go now.
Nice, decent enough.
Alright, so I'm just going to ask you about, you were just talking about that boy, Spanish boy, losing like 3 fights in a row.
Oh yeah.
With like, I know that the attitude to Muay Thai in Thailand is slightly different, like in here, like, in the UK, especially with boxing, which is a more traditional UK sport, and MMA as well, there's like a whole emphasis on being unbeaten and being like so yeah. unstoppable. Like, especially Anthony Joshua is a prime example. Like, he's been so protected because they want to keep this unbeaten record.
Yeah, definitely.
But in, I think in Muay Thai in Thailand, like, that's not as much of a thing. It's what, no, the attitude's like over there. If you lose a fight, if you're a fighter in a gym that's lost a fight, what's the attitude?
No, they don't care. Like, see, in Thailand, they'll, it's only since I'm back, you know, like, people say to you in Thailand, how much fights you had, and you tell them, that's it.
Yeah, they don't want to know what your wins are.
No, they don't know your, they don't care your record, you know, like, Thailand, they know you'll get shit decisions, they'll know that you know, they know how a fight is. You know, yeah. you could barter somebody for four rounds and get caught up and stopped with a doctor stoppage in the last round, or you could get knocked out with a lucky punch, so they don't care about that, you know, they just want to know how much fight you've had. But here, you know, it's, put your record, yeah. how much you won, how much you lost. But no, they don't care about that there. It's just all about experience. They just want to know how much fights you've had.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think there's a difference?
Probably just because they do it so often. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, Thailand, and Thai boxers, they'll have like 200, 300, 400, 500 fights.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does it really matter if they've won? I mean, obviously, if they'd won every single one of them, it would be okay, this boy's unbeatable. But you know, if they've won, if they've lost 50, if they've lost 60, if they've lost 70, if they've lost 90, 100, 200 out of however much fights, does it really matter? You know, they've won more, they've won the same, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. What's the culture out there like Muay Thai in general? There's a lot of folk that fight. Is it like just pretty much a profession out there? Is it more folk that just train and don't fight? Is it folk that just like fight amateur?
In Thailand?
Yeah.
Sorry, someone just sent me a stupid message at the minute, Tim, but sorry. Sorry, 2 seconds. Like, what's the sort of level?
Just, is there different levels, or is it all just sort of like?
There's definitely different levels. Like, they don't do the same as like in the UK. You know, they've got C class, B class, A class. They don't do that. It's all just professional, and I think that's the way it should be in in UK and anywhere out of Thailand. They should just have professional Muay Thai rules, but they should have maybe use elbow pads or use shin guards. I don't think they should have like the what's the word I'm looking for? You know, like when they change the rule set. Like B class and C class. You know, they're not allowed elbows to the. They're not allowed elbows. They're not allowed knees to head. It's not really Muay Thai, is it? You know, like, so it's more just like kickboxing or whatever.
Yeah.
So they just always do full Thai rules in Thailand, but there'll be different levels. You know, they'll know they're. I mean, sometimes you'll get mismatches, but like generally, if it's somebody's had a couple of fights, they'll fight somebody with a few fights. But then it's different with like with foreigners, because we'll go over there, you know, we'll maybe at the end of our career, we'll have 30, 40, 50, 60, maybe 100 fights if you're lucky, you know.
Yeah.
But Thais, it's, like I said, they'll go 300, 400, 500 fights. So you'll always get a foreigner going over that's in maybe 10, 15, 20 fights fighting a Thai that's in 3, 4, 5 times. So 5 times as much as that. Sorry, somebody sent my message. Yeah, so the level, it's the same as here. You know, the guys that are the best Muay Thai fighters in the world are Thai fighters, but you've also got guys that fucking are crap. They drive tuk-tuks during the day and they go and fight at stadiums at night just to get money.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
It just seems like, not strange, I don't know what the word is, but it just seems like crazy that we can have Westerners over here that go over there and compete with like people like yourself who train Muay Thai for what, a few years and out of Thailand, you were able to compete and beat loads of like Thais that have been training all their life. Like, it's just like,
it's same as any sport, is it? You know, just because you've got a guy that maybe, you know, he could be a sprinter, Olympic sprinter, you know, he could be sprinting. His dad could have made him sprint since he's 3 year old, all he done sprint all his life, but it could be someone that's just naturally good at running or faster, come along and does it and better. You know, it's the same in boxing, Muay Thai, any sport. Some people pick things up quicker than others. Some people are maybe trained better, they're harder, or whatever way you look at it, you know, faster, anything, they just win. Or it could just be the case of they're good at fighting, you know.
Yeah.
Natural fighters. There's lots of guys I know that are not necessarily the most sort of best or that I looking at fighting, but you know, they know how to fight, you know, they're good at knocking people out, they're good at battering people. And that's the same, like you'll get that. And going back to what we said earlier about when you asked me or when I said about I don't care about winning or looking good, or, well, I don't care about what happens in the fight as long as I look good.
Yeah.
It's the same in Thailand. I've seen people who have went in and then absolutely batter the Thai person in one or two rounds, but they've done it, you know, not nicely. They didn't throw any kicks. They're just going in fucking punching fuck out the boy. And you know, after the fight, even though the guy won, the guy's coming out thinking he's a champion, and everyone's like, that foreigner.
Is that frowned upon in Thailand?
Oh yeah, oh, lots of times. Like I said, I'll come out of fights cut to pieces, and I've lost on points, and Thais are coming up to me and like saying, "Oh, you're brilliant, you know, proper Muay Thai fighter and that." And you'll see a guy going in and knocking somebody out one or two rounds, and the Thais are all, you hear them all speaking Thais, like, "Oh, the foreigners." Crap, he's not good, not Muay Thai. You know, they're all like, we don't want to look at him. You know, he's coming out winning, thinking he's a champion. You know, go back to his gym, and sometimes, like, the stadium will. I mean, the stadium's happy having foreigners in, but you know, sometimes they might be like, right, we're not looking at him again, he was crap. And he's just winning, thinking he's a champion.
Yeah,
and then they're like, right, they don't want you back, you didn't fight Muay Thai. It was, don't know what you were doing.
He just smashed
it. Yeah, he just came in and went scrappy as fuck, tried to punch his head off.
Yeah.
So sometimes you get that as well.
Just going to nip back to something you just said there, like in the build up, how people are getting good at fighting and people have a natural like work ethic and stuff. Just remember the other day when we were training together and you said to me, I had good fitness. And I said to you, I don't think it's good fit. I mentioned this to Paul yesterday actually as well. I'm just going to think I'm just trying to fucking get my own fitness. But I just turned around and you said,
yes, you're very fit. Don't worry. Fittest guy I've ever met. Is that what you want me to say?
Yeah, that's it. I'll slip you the 10 on the table. Extra 10 on XPT. No, yeah, just I remember I just turned around and you said, I don't know if it's fitness or stubbornness, and I think that's the thing.
Like, yeah, probably the latter is probably better. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying I'm like the most hardy guy, the most like fit guy, but like when I train, usually I try and like just train 100% all the time.
Yeah, you've got to, otherwise you're only kind of.
But do you think that like the question's not about me, but what? But just like, do you think like having trained amongst like people all over the world and. Like Thailand, UK, train loads of people. How much of a thing do you think that is? You meet folk that are skilled, but just don't have that.
Oh, definitely. Like I said about the guy. Well, like I just spoke about the guy Eric, the Spanish boy. Hope he's not listening. He'll think I'm just fucking slating him. Yeah, if you're listening, Eric, I did say you were really good on the pads, but he's a prime example of exactly what you're saying. You know, like watching. I've been in lots of gyms when I've watched somebody, and you know, you watch them hit pads, and they're like. And this guy's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it was Mr. Miyagi that said, when there was somebody punching
Mr.
bricks.
Miyagi.
Was it Mr. Miyagi that says, was it Mr. Miyagi? Somebody was hitting bricks and he said, brick, don't hit back.
Yeah.
Was it Mr. Miyagi?
I don't know.
Yeah, or somebody from.
It might
from,
have been Denman, like.
Maybe somebody from Bloodsport, you know, movie Bloodsport.
Yeah.
I think it maybe was from Bloodsport, you know, when Jean-Claude Van Damme goes in the Kumite.
Yeah.
And the boy's punching all the bricks out. Well, it's like, if you're hitting pads, you can't properly see how good somebody is. You know, it's like their technique, you can tell, okay, their technique's brilliant, but once somebody's in the ring, you know, they can't do their 10, 20, 15 punch combos and finish with spinning kicks and that if somebody's hitting them back. So like that's when you properly see how good somebody is.
Yeah.
And there's a guy, Ben, I trained with Boom Muay Thai, his French guy, Ben, proper gentleman, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. People say a lot of bad things about the French people, but I'll back up Ben to the halt because he is a lovely guy, brilliant. And so when you're training with him, sparring with him, he was a little bit heavier than me, but see, sparring with him, it was easy sparring him, you know, I kind of thought, he's not great. Hitting pads, he looked decent enough, but nothing special. But see, when he went in the ring, he's like a machine. He fights at Max Muay Thai regularly all the time, and there's a boy, Santi Agnoy, he was like a Thai superstar, and he fought Ben. Ben beat him on points the first time on Max Muay Thai, and Santi Agnoy wanted to rematch him again, says, no, I'll beat him, I'm better than him. And the second time, Ben knocked him out. So Ben, see when he's in the ring, he just goes forward, elbows, knees, he's a proper maniac in the ring, he just wants to hurt people. And outside the ring, he's most kind of gentle person you'll meet,
yeah.
even in sparring, you know, like he'll kick you in sparring, you go, oh, sorry. And so he's a prime example, you know, like somebody you see in the gym is not necessarily the same person you see fighting.
Yeah. So for someone like yourself, like, talked about how, like, when you compete, you're just sort of like, you want to outscore, it is now,
but like.
So when you first started, would you say it was more of like a, let's just smash bug?
Yeah, when I first started, it was, it was always violence, you know, you're always going to the ring.
Yeah.
You're always trying to hit somebody, so you know you're not taking away the fact that somebody's trying to hurt you and you're trying to hurt them, but it was always controlled violence, like, you know, I always wanted to look good doing it.
Yeah.
I wanted to bark somebody, I wanted to hurt somebody, but I wanted to look good doing it, yeah. But now it's like I've said it a couple of times to people when I'm trying to describe the way I'm kind of feeling now. I don't know if it's once my son came along, I think that's kind of turned me soft. But before, like, if I was in a fight and somebody kind of slipped in front of me and their head was down at my knee, I would have kneed them in the head. But now, you know, if somebody slipped and their head was there, I'd probably step back and say, you know, get back up. So, like, all my first fights and a lot of my other fights, I was always winning by knockouts. You know, I was going out, throwing elbows and trying to hurt people and stuff like that. But now it's like, you know, I still throw elbows and do a lot, but it's more like a game now. Same as I was saying earlier, when the more times you get punched in the head or somebody's trying to punch you, you don't look at it like a fight. You know, it's just like, it's just more like, it's just normal, you know, it's just like a sport. Anytime somebody throws a punch at me, it's just like, oh, okay, I'll try and move out of the way, or maybe just take that in the forehead and try and hit them back. So it's the longer you're in the game, the more it kind of does become like a sport. But at the same time, you know, if you're not in the ring with that killer instinct wanting to hurt somebody, then I don't think you should really be there, because it's not a game you can kind of, you know, take lightly. It's not like you go and dancing with a guy.
Yeah, totally. Just like, I'm gonna take this conversation back to myself, Peter, hope you don't mind. But I work for a guy.
Is it about your fitness?
No, it's not about my fitness.
You're very fit, dude.
It's actually just like, you know that.
You're very fit, dude.
No, I used to work with a guy who trained the combat center down the arches, and he was training there and meeting up with folk and sparring and all that. And I remember at the time he came in one day with his gym bag and stuff, and how many people, 20, 21? And I was like, what's all that piss you've got weight in your bag? And he's like, oh, I'm going to the gym after. I was like, what fucking gym you know that for? He's like, oh, combat center. I was like, what are you doing?
He came to your work?
Yeah, I worked with him. He's just like, he was a good pal.
But before you beat the combat center?
Yeah, it was before I'd ever trained, ever thought of training. I was like, what are you doing after work? Like, you know all that stuff. And he's like, oh, I'm just meeting up with somebody sparring. I was like, what's that? He's like, we just meet up and just kind of like, but with like a soft fight, and I was like, that's fucking mental. I was like, that's stupid as fuck. Like, you tell me you just mean a wild boy, like,
let them turn.
I just hit each other. I was like, that's fucking barbaric, man. I was like, that's just stupid as fuck. And then, like, fast forward a couple of years, I remember, like, the way I got, the first time I ever trained was through the white collar boxing. And he was like the first person I texted, and I was like, yeah, I'm actually like going to be doing a bit of training. You might be like someone that could help me out, because I know you've trained in the past.
Does he still train now?
Like? Doesn't still train now, no.
Was he alright, or?
I never ever trained with him, eh? I never actually trained with him, but he did train the combat center. But I saw him earlier this year, like a thing from the place we used to work, so I'll even do. And I said,
where was he used to work?
It's a different swimming pool, Portland swimming pool.
Oh, okay.
But I just said to him, I'm just like, mind that all them years ago, like, I turned around to you and said, like, what a fucking idiot for just going out like a room with somebody and letting them hit you. And like, it was 100% genuine at the time. Like, it seemed so alien to me. And now, like, I'm pretty much in this exact same
position.
Yeah. And I just think it's, I think when people look out from, and it does seem so strange, it's so alien. But once you're in it, nothing feels more normal. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And exactly like I've just said, you know, the more times you get punched in the head, I'm not meaning it like, connected to the head as if it like affects your brain cells. I'm just meaning once you see a fist coming towards you, you know, like the first time, if you were even in primary school, when we've been at primary school, academy school, or whatever.
You love talking about primary school class. That's why you talk about this so far.
No, I'm not meaning that. I'm just meaning like, you know, like I'm not meaning getting physically punched in the face. I'm just meaning when that fist comes towards your face, like flinching. Yeah, you'll always flinch. Somebody that's never in a fight in their life, if you pretend to punch them, they'll jump them out, But like a fighter, you know, if you try and if you go like that, they probably won't flinch, you know. They're probably just they're just used to it, yeah. So it's I mean it's more like us walking about now where boxing gloves, shin guards and black eyes and stuff is just yeah. normal to us. But like going back to the new at work and some guy came with gloves and that to your work, you were thinking, what the fuck's this guy doing?
Oh, so if you told me then, if you said in 5 years' time you'll be doing that, I would have been like, fuck off. Like, I would never, ever, 100% ever believe you. I just thought, there's absolutely no way. I don't think at that time I was even doing any kind of fitness. Like, you know, I'd probably be podgy wee beer belly. All I was doing was listening to Nirvana. And that would have been it, you know what I mean?
Just, nothing wrong with Kurt Cobain, I do like Nirvana.
No, there's nothing wrong with Nirvana at all, but just like, I just think it's just a point I'm making for you, anyone that's listening that's not ever done a combat sport. Like, it just.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's too late.
And I know, like, you were not old when you got to sport by any means, but like,
I was old for starting it, like.
Yeah, I think some people think that, like, when they see these people, like, you know, big boxers on TV or MMA fighters, think you have to be doing it since you were, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old or something.
No,
you never got a shot. Like,
not at all, like, not at all. I mean, I think it's just because I look so young and handsome. People thought I started younger. That's what it is. I started when I was in my mid-20s, so it's, I mean, that's quite late.
Yeah.
You know, you've got young guys at the gym and that, like Salus, now they're 19 and they're, you know, they're already at a good level. You know, I'd have loved to have been in my teens and been at a decent level.
Yeah.
But I started mid-20s and started quite late. But I still managed to get to, I'm still at a decent level now, you know, I'm still fighting at now. And no, just I kind of wish I started earlier. But there's a guy I train with. I train him a day. There's PTs with me. This guy Kev. He turns 57 tomorrow, and he's just started not long ago. You know, he said to me, "I wish I started when I'm younger."
Yeah.
So you know, when I look at him, I'm thinking, well, you know, he'll never fight. He's training it, and he's loving training. So I mean, in hindsight, I've started it. I've got to fight. I've got to win a belt. I've got to become number one in Scotland, you know, top five in the UK, you know, so I've at least got to some sort of level, you know. If I started it a little bit later, maybe I wouldn't have thought, you know, maybe it would be one of these thinking, oh, I wish I got to fight. So I'm happy that I've got to fight, like, but yeah, maybe if I was started when I was a bit younger, I could have maybe got further.
Yeah.
But who knows, I'm not really bothered, you know, I'm happy to still be involved in sport now.
Definitely.
I'm not retired yet, you know, so still.
No, definitely.
Still got a couple more fights, but I don't think there'll be any world title fights anyway. But you
know. Who knows?
No, but we'll wait and see. I know I could be fighting for years to come. Maybe a few more. Might be like Keith Middleton, you know, he's been retired about 10 times.
Actually, the first time I met William Harrison, previous podcast guest, first thing he said to me, I met him for a PT before I did the podcast, so we had a bit of a chat on that, and the first thing he said to me was, "Is Keith retired yet? Or is he faking it again?" And I was like, at the time I barely knew Keith. The only fighter I knew at the gym at that point was Owen, who put me in touch with Liam. So I was just like, "Oh, Keith, he's always still training away, like,
yeah.
I think he's fighting in the ballroom." And Liam's
yeah, like, Keith's brilliant, like, and like I've said to a few people, Keith's lost a few fights, you know, even training with Keith now, this is probably the best I've seen Keith fight.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I first came back from Thailand end of last year, I was clinching with Keith, and, you know, I was like, he was so nervous about Keith, if you're listening. He was terrible in the clinch, you admit that. And now, like, when you train with Keith, he's much better. Like, everything above is better. His kicks are solid. You know, he's broke two people's arms in fighting with kicks.
Okay, I knew he broke one, I didn't know about the second.
He's broke two. His last fight, he broke a guy's arm. And a while ago, he broke a guy, Mesho's arm, with a kick. So this new nickname, Bone Crusher. Keith Bone Crusher, my daughter. But yeah, he's definitely getting better. And when I first started training with him, well, maybe not first, but just before I went to Thailand, he was saying that he was going to retire, and he's still fighting now. His fights are getting fewer and fewer each year. You know, maybe you have like one, maybe two a year now. But
yeah, but he's what, 38,
39. No, I guess wrong. I think he's touching
40. I think the Bo Holden, which we'll not say too much about, but I'm sure he told me that night that he was thinking about having one more fight and then it would be his 40th birthday, so I'm sure he must be 39.
Yeah, so it'll be 40 next year.
Yeah.
I think that's right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be 40 next year. Yeah, he's been good, you know, he's got two Scottish titles. He's been number one in Scotland for a while, so yeah, he's doing good.
Yeah.
When I started, you know, well, I've seen that Keith was only fighting C-class when I started. But, yeah, I think anybody that's starting Muay Thai, if they can look at somebody like Keith and think if they can get to the level he's at, then, you know, it's really good.
Yeah, well, definitely for someone like myself, because I obviously boxed since I was about 23, 24, and then changed Muay Thai, and doing boxing before doing Muay Thai isn't as much of an advantage as you would think. His own team would fucking has punched into me, telling me, like, somebody kicks you, I just jab them back. Like, you're not going to even do anything. Because when you're boxing, like, your instinct is naturally just as soon as you get hit with anything, it's just throw the jab.
Yeah, definitely. It's better now, though. I think there's lots of people come training me, and you know, straight away if they're boxers, and like you just said, it's not always an advantage. Sometimes it's harder to drill out old habits than it is having a complete novice coming in, complete beginner, not knowing none. You know, sometimes you can just, it's a blank canvas, is it? You know, you just mold them, tell them what you want them to do. But somebody like yourself has done boxing before, they'll come, they'll have their boxing stance, and like maybe when they get tired or something during a round, they'll always go back to their boxing stance.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes more difficult to try. But at the same time, you've got that background of throwing punches, so you know, you know some of it, you know. So it's a bit of both.
Yeah. I think the most annoying thing about that was that when I went, I had a pal that signed up for the white collar boxing, and I started training with him. So I went to a boxing class with him, and then I was sparring with somebody in the class, and I just said, you're leaving your body open, because obviously I was standing square in a Thai stance. And I was
after being tying my back,
just getting straight crosses to the body, because my guard was different, but I was still in the stance.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're leaving your body open quite a lot, you're quite square. And I was thinking, fuck, like, when I'm doing Thai, I'm not square enough. When I'm doing box, I'm too fucking square.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah, I need to try and fucking find a balance here.
Yeah.
See for yourself, how do you feel that, I don't know, do you feel like, I think, getting good at combat sports, you have to be quite obsessive about. Do you feel like you had like an obsessive or like an addictive personality before you started combat sports, and that's just transferred over, or was it just when you were in Thai?
I think to be honest, I think no matter what I do, whether it's sports, whether it's a hobby, whether it's work, I'm always about a perfectionist, and some people at work will tell you that. You know, like I've worked with guys before I was a timeshare fabricator welder. And I've worked with guys on oil rigs or in workshops for like jobs that maybe take like some guy banging a frame up in maybe 10 minutes, and you know, I'll take a bit longer, but mine's will look immaculate, you know what I mean? And people will be like, fucking hell, oh, perfectionist. I think if I'm going to do something, I want to do it good.
Yeah.
You know, same as like I says, come back again, if I'm doing Muay Thai, I want to be good at it. You know, like if I try a sport and I'm, or try anything, you know, if I start trying to learn violin and I'm shit at it, I'll just stop. You know, if I do something and I think, okay, there's a chance I can be good at it, so I'll keep doing it until I'm good at it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's about, like I say, my personality, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I want to, if I do something, I'll do it really good or not at all. Even when I played football, you know, I was decent enough at it.
Yeah.
And then once I got to the stage where knees were sore and I was just end up kicking people and not caring about it, I just thought, right, there's no fucking point doing this.
Yeah.
Just stopped it. So yeah.
Do you feel like your mentality has changed? Like, do you feel since you started Muay Thai, you become like a more disciplined person?
Definitely, 100%. When I before I started Muay Thai, I used to go to town all the time, and I was never the one to go and punch people for no reason or start fights for no reason. I'd never ever done it. But I think maybe because I'm small or I must have one of them faces, lots of times people would come up. And plus I was in town maybe 3-4 times a week. So if you're drinking in town all the time, you're always in, you know, you're getting some bother.
Yeah.
But it used to always be like people would come up and start fights with me. And my mentality was, you know, if somebody's coming up to me, they might punch me and knock me out, you know. So I'm thinking if somebody's coming up, I think they're going to hit me, I'm going to try and punch them first. So lots of times I would end up like in fights in town. But now that I've started Muay Thai, again, going back to what I said earlier, before when I was in town, if somebody came up to me and I had the feeling they were going to start fighting with me, I'd feel myself sort of physically.
Yeah, yeah, you said that.
You know, the adrenaline going, and you'd be like, right, this guy's got to go for me, I need to fight him. But now, if somebody comes up, it's just so relaxed, you know, I'd rather just be like, say, I'm like, oh, fuck off, get out of my face, like, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't want to fight, I couldn't be arse fighting in town. I wouldn't want to punch somebody without having my wraps or my glove on, I'd be scared, scared in case I broke my hand. But yeah, once you're used to getting punched all the time and that, it's, you know, it doesn't bother you, you don't want to do it outside the ring. Why go and have a fight with somebody in town that might get you jailed when you can go and have a fight with somebody in a boxing ring that can get you money and recognition for being a champion or whatever, you know? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That's my view now, anyway.
What about in terms of just like outside of just wanting a smart folk in town? Just like,
what, something you don't like?
Yeah, just in terms of like, do you feel like Muay Thai's given you, like, taught you any other lessons just about maybe about yourself and about how much you can push yourself? And...
Muay Thai's taught me so much now, you know, like what's brought me in the last 5 years, you know, it's, if you rewind 5 years ago to me then, to me now, it's completely different. Besides what you just said, you know, you've seen a photo of me 5 years ago in the fridge and thought I looked very young, and now you're looking at me and thought I looked, what was the word you looked like, you used again?
I don't think I used a nasty word.
You look a bit weathered or no. Something.
No, I didn't say it. You'd imagine this. I didn't say it.
No, I'm pretty sure you looked at me and said I looked a lot younger, and I thought I still
looked. If anything, I think you look better with age. You look like a fine wine.
Well, apart from the tattoos and scars, I thought I looked all right, like, but, no, it's, what was the question again?
Just, do you feel Muay Thai's giving you anything, like, I don't know, on a deeper level, like?
Well, yeah, besides everything we've said, like, stuff that I've learned, like, in people that I've met and all that, it's, yeah, definitely, it's more like a lifestyle than just a, it's a sport, you know? You take on, and you know, you've got to live, eat, breathe and sleep it if you want to be at a decent level.
Yeah.
So it's not just something you can, it's not the same as football. When I played football, you know, we'd go out and get pissed on a Friday, Saturday night, sometimes we'd get home at, or Friday even, you know, get home at 3-4 in the morning, get up and play football, and I'd still be pissed running around, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd still do it, but you know, I would never ever go out and get drunk and play, have a fight the next day. Although I've got drunk and fought a few days or a week after.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would be almost unheard of in the UK.
I wouldn't do it in the UK.
In Thailand, like, you just...
Well, it was more like when I first went down to Bull Muay Thai, I was going down there. I was down there as a sponsored fighter, and I drove down from Chiang Mai, so I drove from Chiang Mai to Saraburi, then Koh Rat, then Pattaya, then Hua Hin. This is all places, you know, working your way down Thailand,
yeah.
Like 5-6 hour journey each place. Hua Hin to, where did I go to Hua Hin again? Champon, and then Champon to Krabi. All in all, it took me like a week, but I was stopping each night in a place. I was drinking whiskey at, like, different people at each place. You know, I went and seen a couple of friends and my wife's family at a couple of places. And got down to Krabi on Saturday. And I was drinking Friday, Saturday. I was fucking hungover. And went in the boat. And I remember seeing a guy, Maui, the owner. And I walked in and I just ate about, like, maybe half an hour earlier. And I was still hungover from the night before. And I went in and I was like, oh, how are you doing, Maui? I'm young, blah, blah, blah. I met him. And I was like, right, I'll just go to my room thinking I was going to fucking lie down and sleep. And my was like, okay, yeah, you have your shorts, put on your shorts, let's train. And I remember thinking, oh no. And put on my shorts, gave me some trainer and started hitting pads. And I felt crap, but I must have looked at it. Everyone was like, oh, this guy's good.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, we're finished. Okay, thanks. Went away. Sunday, never done anything. Monday, came to train up on the first day. Trained twice Monday, trained twice Tuesday, twice Wednesday, twice Thursday. Well, no, I trained Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon. I'd done my run, like 4K, 5K. Came back, my shadow boxing, the Maui came up to me and was like, oh, Pete, they want you to fight at Phuket in Bangla Stadium tomorrow. So this is a Friday, exactly 1 week before it was pissed out whiskey. And then, He was like, you can fight. And I was like, oh, I can easy fight. I can fight anytime. But I'm letting you know, I'm not fit. So don't, you know, this is my first fight for their gym, you know. I was like, yeah. So don't judge my performance. If I go there and I'm absolutely fucked after one round, it's not my fault, you know. You're the one put me in a fight after 4 or 5 days training. So he's like, oh, it's okay, no problem. So then I went and fought there. I fought 5 rounds. I thought I won, but they gave it to the Thai. But yeah, I managed to fight on a week's notice. Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that here, you know. I mean, it wasn't a week's notice, a day's notice, but a week after drinking.
Yeah, a week after being on the whiskey.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that here, like.
What's the difference being out in Thailand?
What, in terms of?
Like, you would take a fight after a week of, you know, having to be drinking, and then you wouldn't do it here.
Probably just because, like I was saying earlier, it's like, I don't know if we're recording it, maybe we're on the sofa when we're speaking, it's like, it's not as big a deal there.
Yeah.
You know, like, people will, like, here, you know, if you're fighting on a Saturday, you'll take a day off work, and a Friday, you'll have a couple of days rest. There's guys out there that'll, like, trainers at gyms, they'll maybe fight the Friday or Saturday night, or any night, and they'll still hold pads that day in the gym.
Yeah.
You know, they'll hold pads till maybe 4 or 5, 6 o'clock.
And then fight.
And then they'll fight 9 o'clock at night. You know, so it's like, it's just, you're maybe, because you're there, you don't look at it as such a big deal. You know, like here, people come and be like, oh, you're fighting. Oh, you're fighting. Yeah. Who are you fighting? How are you feeling? You got to win, blah, blah, blah. All this, and it kind of makes you think.
Pardon me, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Totally. Bourbon, man. It's the gassiest podcast.
When you get another beer, though.
Yeah, just about.
And so, out here, you know, everyone makes it a big deal. You know, they speak all this shit. And out there, it's just like, you know, like, are you fighting? Oh, yeah, after I finish work, I'll go down to the stadium and fight. Yeah. It's just the way it is. It's not a big deal.
Almost like Sunday amateur football or something.
Yeah, exactly the same. You know, we're brought up with football at school. They're brought up with Muay Thai at school. They start fighting when they're 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. Same, we start playing football then.
And what's the difference between, like, so you could fuck like Sanchai or like Singdam, like Manachai, all these guys. What's the difference between them and like a Thai that just fights like on the stadium kind of day job? Is it just like,
well, it'll be the same. It'll be the same as, you know, your UK Premier League football players, yeah, and your UK Sunday amateurs. I'm sure if the UK Sunday amateurs had the chance, they'd be playing Premier League.
Yeah.
But they're just not as good enough, or they don't train as much. You know, it's the exact same as that. Guys, they're just, you know, Sanchai, he's probably a bad example
to use because he's just.
But yeah, even other guys, you know, this just comes down to your natural ability or your being good and not being so good. I suppose that's all it is. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure even the guys that get pissed all the time, like a lot of trainers that have trained me, they're brilliant trainers, brilliant at sparring, and they'll drink beer every night. And they'll still go fight in stadiums, and they'll be at a decent level, you know. Yeah. They'll fight for decent money. Like, they'll fight for the equivalent of your average Thai's monthly wage. So, you know, like, what's the average monthly wage in the UK?
Between £1,200 and £1,400, probably.
So, you know, if you're saying that, that's equivalent of us getting drunk and us going and fighting at a stadium for that much money.
Yeah.
You know, so it's these guys that get drunk all the time, and you look at it and think they're and they're not a good level. They're still fighting for proper money, you know. They're still fighting for better money than like your crappy jobs over there, you know, your cleaners and all that.
Yeah.
Your guys that are still getting drunk and training people, they're going out and fighting at stadiums, and they're making good money. You know, they wouldn't have to work for a few weeks if they win, and they're still not treating it, you know, is that much.
I just don't care.
Yeah, it's just the way they are. But then obviously the likes of Sanjay and all your top ties, they're obviously making mega money, but rightfully so, they should be.
You want a beer break?
Yeah, that's about a beer break.
Third time lucky for this outro. I've not done myself many favours today. That was part 1 of 2. And the second part should be out in the next couple of days. In the meantime, if you can't wait for more chat, like I said in the intro, there's heaps of other ones with more interesting people you can go back and listen to. And if this is your first time listening, please subscribe wherever it is that you downloaded it from, if you've enjoyed it and think there might be more for you in the future. Yeah, please subscribe. You leave a review. If you want to keep up with it with myself and with the podcast on social media, it's Mood Swings Abs on Instagram, 365 Aberdeen on Twitter and 365 Aberdeen on Facebook. And that's pretty much it. And if you want to keep up with Pete, all his handles will be in the bio for this, wherever you've got it, unless it's on iTunes, in which case it might not be. But if you go on my Instagram, which I've just told you about, Pete will be tagged and everything, so you'll get him there. Yeah. So part two is coming up. It's just more of the same from what I can remember. I've only listened to what you've heard so far. And just bear in mind, we've had even more beers as you. We left you there just to get another one, so who knows what part two will entail. Okay, cheers, bye.